Morning, we're in Colossians 1, and it's a beautiful passage, not only about what God has done for us, but what God therefore wants us to do for Him as a result of what He's done for us. So Colossians chapter 1, we'll look at verses 9 to 14 together. The Bible says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we ask that You would meet with us now. We truly count it a privilege to be able to assemble as we have and open the Word of God on our laps and just to hear from You. And we pray that each of us now would clear our hearts and minds and focus on what You'd have to say to us, Lord, that we might adjust our spiritual walk as the Holy Spirit leads, that, Lord, that You would be glorified in this time and Your word would be lifted up, and, Lord, that Jesus would be magnified and that would meet with us now. May You be pleased with this service. May we all leave changed and blessed by it. And we ask this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'd like to maybe flip things over a little bit and look at the last part first and the first part last. Because what I'd like us to do is first see that God did so much for us, and therefore, as we saw in the first part of the passage, God wants us in return to serve Him and put Him first. So I want to start at verse 12, look it through to verse 14, then we'll jump back up to the beginning, because I want to focus first of all these things that God has done for us through Jesus Christ our Savior, and that is our grounding, that is our foundation upon which we then go out and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice verse 12 says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet." Now that word "meet" there means acceptable. He's made us acceptable in His sight. Now that had nothing to do with our behavior. Nothing to do with our works, and everything to do with Jesus and what He did on Calvary. As we know, the Scriptures say, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And so what God has done is, through Jesus Christ, when we're born again, we are made meet. We are made acceptable in the sight of God. That is why we have access to the throne of God. That is why we're going to be allowed into heaven. Not because of anything we've done, but because of this transaction that God did when we trusted Christ of giving us His righteousness. Verse I'd like you to see in Ephesians chapter 1, if you would turn there, verse 6. This is a beautiful truth, and I know I've shared it before, but God teaches in His Word, and this is part of our eternal security, that when we're born again, we're made part of Jesus. We become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. We become part of the body of Christ. And because of that, it says here in Ephesians 1:6, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." We are acceptable in the sight of God. Why? Because we are in the Beloved. We are in Christ. When God looks down and sees us, He sees Jesus. Praise God. It's a good thing, because we're just wicked sinners. But God chose to do it this way. God chose to take what Christ did on Calvary and apply it to us. But not just His death and resurrection, but His righteousness. It's called justification. And we are justified in Christ, as it says here in Ephesians 1:6, we are made accepted. The other word we saw was the word "meet." So the first thing that we see here in Colossians 1, verse 12, is that we have been made acceptable in Jesus Christ. We've been made meet for Him, worthy of heaven. It's amazing when you think about it. Worthy of a place that has no sin. Worthy of being in the presence of a holy God. The second thing that we see, go back to our passage, Colossians 1:12. Not only has God made us acceptable or meet, but God has also given us an inheritance. Notice he says here, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now again, we've said this before, but it's enough for all of us that we just get to go to heaven and not hell. That we get to see Jesus. And as the song says, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. And when we are there with Christ, the rest just isn't going to matter, is it? But God has gone beyond. God has said, I'm not only going to let you come to heaven, I'm going to give you an inheritance. And God's inheritance, if you go to 2 Peter 1:4, God's inheritance is special because it can't be taken away. It can't degrade in value because it's in heaven. 2 Peter 1:4, the Bible says, to an inheritance, whereby are given us exceeding... 1 Peter 1:4, wrong book. 1 Peter 1:4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away. So the inheritance that we have been given, 1 Peter 1:4, is number one, it's incorruptible. Let's face it, inheritances down here can be corrupted. It says it's not only incorruptible, but it's undefiled. In other words, it's without sin. It's without any defilement at all. And then it says, it fadeth not away. Well, here you can inherit a house that eventually wears out, breaks down. We know what happens to money. It can just go. But the inheritance in heaven can't fade away. And then he says there in 1 Peter 1:4, reserved in heaven. God has given each of us a reservation of an inheritance in heaven, not because we deserve it, again, not because we've earned it, but because that's the nature of God. God has chosen to give us these things. So, here in verse 12 of Colossians 1, we see, first of all, we've been made meet or acceptable in God's sight. Second of all, that we've been made partakers of the inheritance that God has for us, and we know that part of that is a mansion. Jesus told us in John 14, my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. The third thing we see here in Colossians 1:13, it says He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. God has delivered us. My friend, could there be anything better than that when you think about it? That all of us were on the path to hell. All of us were on the path to destruction. And God came down and someone shared the gospel with us, or we found it in the Word of God and we trusted Jesus Christ. And when that happened, we were delivered from the power of darkness. We were delivered from Satan's power. He is the god of this world. He is the dark one. And we have been delivered from that power through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Go to Hebrews 2, if you would, and verse 14. And I just want to show you that the Bible says that when Jesus Christ paid for our sins on Calvary and rose again, all of the devil's plans were foiled. Praise the Lord. Look at Hebrews 2:14. The Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When Jesus died on the cross, let me tell you, the devil was angry. Because it says that he destroyed him. Now the devil's still active, but the devil lost. When Christ died and rose again, the devil knew that God's plans had been fulfilled as prophesied, and that death had been destroyed, and that eternal life was now paid for and available to man. And the devil knows the Bible as well as we do, probably better, and he knows what his end is. And just for a short time, he gets to stir up trouble, which he does. But we have been delivered from the power of darkness. Think about that. The power of darkness. The Bible says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In 1 John 4:4. We have been delivered from that power. In Romans 11:26, Jesus is referred to as the deliverer. That's exactly what he's done for us. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. So we see here in Colossians 1, first of all, we've been made meet. We've been made partakers of the inheritance. And we've been delivered from the power of darkness. But notice verse 13 of Colossians 1. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we've been delivered from the power of darkness unto light. From the power of Satan unto God. We've been translated into his kingdom. That's what Jesus meant when he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is not talking about the millennial kingdom that's yet to come. This is talking about the spiritual kingdom that we all become part of at salvation. The kingdom of God. We're in it now if we're saved. And we have been translated into that kingdom through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Translated. And as I mentioned earlier, because we're in Christ, all that's true of Christ is already true of us. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:6 that he hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in God's mind's eye, which time means nothing to God, we're already in heaven. Because Jesus is in heaven and we're in him. So we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what God tells us in Colossians 4. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Because we already live there. That's already our home. We're just strangers right now and pilgrims. That is our home. Live for then. So we've been made meet. We've been given an inheritance. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been translated into his kingdom. He says in verse 14 of our passage, Colossians 1, we've been redeemed and forgiven. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That word redeemed means to be bought back. If you drop something off at the pawn shop and you go back and you redeem it before they sell it, you buy it back, essentially. That's exactly what God did. He bought us back from sin and from the devil through the blood of Jesus Christ, the greatest payment ever made, the blood of the perfect Son of God. And of course, it says even the forgiveness of sins. So what God has done is the day that we were born again, every single one of our sins was forgiven. Colossians 2:13 says, having forgiven you all trespasses. And so these are just some of the things, and obviously we could go on all day listing all the things God's done for us. But in this particular passage, these are just some of the things that God has done for us through the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ our Savior. So now let's go back to our passage. Now that we have that foundation, and God says, this is all the things I've done for you. Now I hear Colossians 1:9. These are what I want you to do for me. Does God have the right to ask? Of course he does. He's given us everything. He's done everything for us. He's bought us. The Bible says we belong to him. We are his servants now. Of course he has a right to ask for these things. And let's see what they are. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It amazes me how many Christians say, I don't know what God's will is. Well, then go find it. Ask God. Then if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. Ask. God will show you. He's given you his word. He's given you the Holy Spirit. He'll reveal it. But it's God's will that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will. What is God's will for your life? Ask God. Be filled with that knowledge. Verse 9. All wisdom and spiritual understanding. If we're growing the way God wants us to grow, then we are growing in wisdom and spiritual understanding. Every day, every week, we are taking it seriously, the command to study, to show thyself approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15. We are taking seriously the exhortation of Romans 10:17, which says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are trying to grow in wisdom and spiritual understanding. And of course, that can only happen through the word of God. God tells us strong meat, Ephesians 5:14, belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, people that are in the Word. And they're growing in wisdom and spiritual understanding. So verse 10, that ye might walk worthy. All of this, there's an end to that. It's not so that we can say, oh, I have all this amazing knowledge. It's so that we can now put it to use. God has a purpose for us. And it's not just that we acquire information and knowledge and understanding. It's that we take that and now we apply it and we serve Him. And that's what He means when He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. The Bible says in Philippians 1:27, let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Let your life, your walk, be worthy of what you claim to be, which is a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 10, fruitful. Fruitful. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but if we're not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, then we're not walking with the Lord. It's really not complicated. And by the way, if we are walking with the Lord, the fruits will naturally occur and we don't need to say a word about it. We don't need to say, oh, I'm walking with the Lord and I'm fruitful. Of course, if we're walking with the Lord, we won't say that anyway, will we? Because we'll be humble. So, being fruitful, that's a whole message in and of itself. Being a Christian that's fruitful, being a Christian that shows love instead of anger, and joy instead of discontentment, and peace instead of stress, and long-suffering instead of impatience and judgmentalism, and gentleness instead of harshness, and goodness instead of wickedness, faith instead of fear, meekness instead of pride, temperance versus indulgence, submission versus rebellion, thanksgiving versus ingratitude, and we could go on all afternoon. These are things that we cannot generate in and of our own selves. These are things that the Holy Spirit can generate through us as we yield to Him. And sure enough, as we are filled with the knowledge of His will, and as we are growing in our wisdom and spiritual understanding, this is exactly what will happen. We'll become fruitful. Verse 10, in every good work. Why are we here? We're here to work. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, night, the day cometh when... I hide it backwards. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. John 9:4. And you and I only have a short time to work for Jesus. Then we'll be home. We are here to work, abounding in the work of the Lord. And we have this foundation of all these amazing things God has done for us. He's made us acceptable. He's given us an inheritance. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's translated us into His kingdom. He's forgiven us of all of our sins and redeemed us. He says, now I want you to be fruitful and walk in good works. And notice verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. So I want you to understand what God is saying is this is a process that never ends. Because it started at the beginning of verse 9. It says, filled with the knowledge of His will. But then He says, I want you to have wisdom and walk worthy and be fruitful and do good works. But then He says, I want you to keep increasing in the knowledge of God. And what will happen is the more we increase in our knowledge, the more that all these other things are going to happen. The more that we're going to walk worthy. The more that our walk's going to line up with our profession, which is to be a Christian. But increasing. And again, that can only happen as we make it happen. That's not... It'd be awesome if we could put this under our pillow. And it would soak in while we slept. I don't know about you, I think that'd be great. But it doesn't work like that, does it? We have to study. We have to memorize. We have to go to church and hear the Word. We have to expose ourselves everywhere we can to the Word of God so that we can increase in the knowledge of God. It's a choice. It's always a choice. How important is it to me that I increase in the knowledge of God? And once you make that decision, then you put the steps in place to make it real by studying the Word, by being in church, and looking for ways just to increase in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, he says, strengthened. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Our strength doesn't come from within. Our strength comes from God. And as we grow in our knowledge and increase in the knowledge of God, you know what we're going to grow in? Our reliance upon God, which gives us that much more strength. Unto all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks. Can't forget that one. In everything, give thanks. The Bible says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So what is God wanting from us? He wants us to keep increasing in the knowledge of God. And as we do, it's not the knowledge that in and of itself, it's what that does to us. Because as we increase in the knowledge of God, you know what's going to happen? We're going to walk more worthy. We're going to be more fruitful. It's going to change us. Amen? That's ultimately what God's trying to do, is change us, conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And sure enough, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit can make that real. But again, we have to make those choices to increase in the knowledge of God and watch God continue to develop and grow us. He may use trials to do it. He mentioned patience up there in verse 11. How do you think God develops patience? Romans 5:3 said, tribulation worketh patience. Oh, had to put that in there. How do you think he develops long-suffering? Simple. It brings people into your life that you're hard to get along with, so you can learn it. How do you think he develops love? Same thing. Never ends. And the only way that we can learn to respond properly to all these things that God's going to bring into our lives is increasing in the knowledge of God. So that's his ultimate goal, is that as we increase in the knowledge of God, we become more like Jesus. He says in 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought also himself so to walk as he walked. Walk as Jesus walked. That's what God's trying to do. Make us more like Jesus. He says, I've already given you all the tools. I've already made you acceptable. You've already got an inheritance waiting. That's all done. I forgave all your sins. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I've delivered you from darkness. I've translated you into my kingdom. I've given you my word. You have everything you need to make this real. Now I want you to increase in the knowledge of God. And as you do, you'll become more fruitful. You're going to walk more worthy of your vocation, and you'll be doing more good works for Jesus. It's the cycle that never ends. Unless somebody would like to stand up and say, oh, I'm there. I don't sin anymore. And I know every word of the Bible front and back. Yep, didn't think so. Because we'll never get there, will we? So we just got to keep increasing in the knowledge of God. And God will use us and grow us and develop us on this foundation of all these things that he's already done for us. The thing about the things he's done for us, those aren't a process. That all happened the day we got saved. God said, that's it, you're mine. You're going to heaven. You've got an inheritance. Your sins are gone. You're translated. It's all done. You're in Christ. Now, use all of that foundation that you're standing on and go forward and increase in the knowledge of God. Be more fruitful. Do good works. Serve me. And by the way, we can. So let's just keep increasing. Let's never, ever let the devil trick us into thinking we're there. We know it all, because then we're in trouble. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, the Bible says. We never, ever are there. So let's just keep increasing. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your